please wear a diaphragm all the time.
Hello, this is Madge Weinstein. I am a lesbian with food allergies, and I'm here at the Big Chicks, which is a bar for gay men, but it's named after fat women. And I'm here with Tina Rae Douglas. She's a whore. Hi, Tina Rae.
Hello, Madge, darling. I love your red muumuu.
Thanks. It was hard to find here in Chicago. They don't make them that big.
You're gorgeous at any size.
So, why are we... So, can you describe this party we're at? Because it's kind of weird, sort of. It has a theme.
Well, it's a... I believe it's a red party for sex workers. Is there a sex worker convention in town?
There might be.
I think there is, looking at this crowd. Lots of red, lots of breasts.
Well, I guess red is the color of hookers, right? Red light district? Is that why?
Well, that would make sense, yeah.
I have to find some hookers to interview, too. Maybe we can find some when they get...
Oh, yes. Let's go find Miss Kitty.
I think she's that way. Are you a sex worker? My name is Madge Weinstein.
And hi, Madge.
Are you a sex worker?
Yes, I am.
What is this party for?
This party is actually to line my pockets personally, since I gave everything I had in the beginning of the year to host the space, food, and flowers for a big old social justice conference for sex workers. So.
So you organize it. And you have, don't you have a TV show or something? Don't you
I do.
Have
a, I have a TV show, redlightdistrictchicago.com, and we just plugged it this morning on Liberal Talk Radio on WNUR, and this is how.
And it's on Chicago Public Access. And audience, trust me, you want to see this. She looks gorgeous. I'm just wearing this awful red-purple muumuu, but I do the best I can.
It's very sexy. I actually like it.
I'm a lesbian.
Show me your pussy.
Later, I'd be glad to. Let me see if I can find it. It's under several folds of fat at the moment.
Yummy.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with you some more, I think.
Do you want me to introduce you to some of the other organizers?
Yes.
Okay.
Should I come with you?
Bye, man.
Bye.
This may be very embarrassing to him, but it's perfectly normal, so please don't make fun of him at this time.
Hello, this is Madge again. I'm still at the post-sex worker convention. I'm feeling very, very fat right now with all these gorgeous women, and I'm just wearing this huge muumuu. And I'm here with one of the organizers. Her name is, what's your name?
Stacy.
Stacy. And what is your role in this conference? And what is the name of this conference? I don't even know.
This year, the conference is called Pulling Back the Sheets, Sex, Work, and Social Justice. It's hosted by the Desiree Alliance.
What's that?
The Desiree Alliance is a cooperative of organizations across the country who are working for the rights of sex workers in areas of human rights, harm reduction, occupational health and safety, and legal issues.
So what is the organization's goal? Purpose or whatever.
Our goal is for sex workers to be influential in matters that affect them, because historically we've been left out of those conversations.
Who's having those conversations?
Policymakers.
Like congressmen, stuff like that?
It's happening at all levels of government.
I see. And why are they being left out of the conversation? Because they're keeping in the closet about their career? Well, I would imagine they're probably afraid to be arrested or something.
I think that sex workers aren't really recognized as legitimate working people.
Mm-hmm.
Often we're not even recognized as humans who have equal rights. We're really a second-class citizen.
I've interviewed a lot of sex workers in Europe, particularly in Amsterdam and Berlin, and it's quite different over there. Why is it so different?
I think in terms of safety, yes, it's definitely much safer that when you criminalize sex workers, they're forced to work in a way that makes them vulnerable and gives them no recourse if something bad happens to them, so they're perceived to be easy targets for all sorts of violence, whether it's theft or assault or rape. Sex workers are perceived to be people who the police don't care about.
Yeah. Do you think you'll ever have any rights here? I mean, do you
in
have any
US,
help?
In the U.S., you mean?
Yeah.
I'm optimistic that we're going to see changes, especially with the growth and the mobilization of sex workers around the country.
Mm-hmm. So you're optimistic?
Well, I have to be.
Do you think there's any politicians that actually support sex workers?
I think there are many politicians who support sex workers all the time.
Right, good point. Can you name names?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever said sex with Steve Jobs? I heard he likes dominatrixes. Is that true?
I wouldn't doubt it, but I cannot say I've ever met him or heard of him in terms of the sex industry.
Fair. And why isn't Melissa Geary here? She's somebody I've known since 2000. I've never met her in person. And she's even a listener of this podcast from time to time.
I would love to know why Melissa's not here.
Really?
I never really got a reason.
Well, she will definitely hear about this, trust me. Like, oh gosh, I'm not prepared for this. Like in Berlin, they have these wonderful sex clubs for straight people where they have, like, sex out in the open and hot tubs with co-ed and anything goes, and they're absolutely beautiful and immaculate and high class. Do they have those here?
I've seen places like that in a few cities. I don't know if I would say high class necessarily. I've gone to parties that are very posh, but they're not like venues that are set up exclusively for parties of that sort.
Yeah. So what did you accomplish during this conference?
I contributed to the organizing and helped bring together 100 amazing, brilliant minds to advance, you know, whatever their personal cause is.
So what sort of topics were the? I assume you had little breakout sessions and that sort of thing?
We did. We discussed everything from, you know, etiquette and how to provide the best service possible to people who live with disabilities, up to, you know, media techniques and how to cope with the media.
Wait a second. You had a workshop on how to, like, have sex work or, what do you call it, have sex work with people with disabilities? Like people without legs or something?
Well, it's not exclusively sex. There's a lot of different kinds of sex workers. Everything from phone sex to internet chat to webcams to dancers to strip clubs. You know, everything in between. And it was essentially you know, things that one should know before encountering a disabled person. Kind of no matter what kind of service you're providing.
Like what would you need to know? For example, because this is something I've never thought of.
Well, I didn't get to attend that workshop, so I'm not exactly sure the specifics, but I'm telling you what I learned from the description. There were also discussions about how to deal with the media. There were workshops on how to be allies to youth. There were workshops on how to create direct services that are run by and for sex workers. So we're looking at like harm reduction and occupational health and safety services. Everything in between. There was a panel with all male sex workers that was really touching and amazing.
Why?
Because they're so often ignored and we don't hear their voices as often, and the public and the media are really, really like entranced with like the Madonna whore stigma and focusing on that, and they forget that men also exchange sex for goods and money.
Are these generally gay men that have sex with men or women or both?
I think that men are more often clients because they can afford it. But, you know, male sex workers provide services to all kinds of different people. But probably men are the majority just because of the nature of economics.
So how are you able to do this, I mean, below the, like, legal radar? Because prostitution's illegal, right?
Well, we're not doing prostitution. We're engaging in free speech.
Right.
We have the right to get together and...
So you can talk about it, you just can't do it.
Right.
Technically.
You can even get paid to talk about it.
But I get the feeling there's kind of a blind eye policy. in this country? Am I wrong? At least,
my feeling is that these arrest-based tactics are economically driven. There's a lot of money available for targeting sexual commerce. So I think that we see an increased amount of legal activity when we see money flowing toward those things.
I see. What's still the terminology? Because I see a girl that has a whore shirt that's in the Coca-Cola logo, sure. But it says whore. Are you okay with that word?
I think that people can use the terms that they choose for themselves, and I want to be supportive and honor that.
Gorgeous. He looks so fucking hot.
Thank you.
Gorgeous. I love this.
Thank you.
I just want to say hi and tell you look hot.
Hi. You look hot too. I love your dress and your shoes.
That's Dorothy. We're not in Kansas
beautiful.
Anymore.
Those are beautiful.
You are not Dorothy.
Yeah, Dorothy on my heels.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I love your moo moo.
Thank you.
It's really fantastic.
I'm really self-conscious about it because I'm next to all these gorgeous women and I'm so fat.
Well, you know, people pay a lot for fat girls because there's a lot of stigma associated with being attracted to fat women.
Yeah.
So I think men actually seek fat women out because they are able to do it discreetly and privately.
Right, well, yeah.
You know.
But I'm a lesbian, so I don't really have an interest in men.
But well, see, now there you go. Market that. So you're a fat lesbian. Men will love it.
She is not sick. She is perfectly normal.
Hello. I'm a lesbian, Star. Listen, I forgot to mention that today's Thursday. I kept thinking it's Friday, but it's Thursday. Isn't that right? What day is it, Tina Ray?
I believe today is Thursday, Madge.
Right. Thursday.
Thursday, indeed.
How are you enjoying the party so far?
I'm having a fantabulous time.
Yeah. So this is Rob. He's a John. Have you met any nice girls or boys today at this hooker party?
Oh, plenty. Can't get enough, actually.
What's the average rate that they're charging?
Generally, it's $3.50 on up per hour.
$3.50?
Times 100.
That's how much I charge because I'm huge.
Oh, well, you might get a discount.
I get a discount for having thighs that rub together.
Well, that creates heat.
What?
Creates heat.
Great feet?
Did yeah, he say, that too.
Did he say I have great feet? How can you see the feet below the moo-moo?
And the rolls.
What?
The rolls.
Oh, the rolls, yes.
Your guns.
Asteroid. I feel sorry for anybody who wore red tonight and didn't know about it.
Who what?
Well, the theme is red, so I feel sorry for people who wore red and aren't hookers. Do you ever pay for hookers?
No.
No. If you did, how much would you pay?
That's a tough question.
Well, I didn't have anything else to ask.
I mean, my favorite movie is
Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, she was hot. Did you see that, Mama?
Oh. Moo Moo Cachoo.
Can you describe her for the general audience?
Oi. I'm getting a little clamped, but...
Relax your throat. I'm sure it's not the, you know, your practice.
Well, I'm used to deep throat, but...
What?
Seats. We were holding seats.
Disease?
Only talk.
Who has a disease?
Am I not clear enough?
You said somebody has a disease?
I'm holding out. I have a disease.
Well, you know, I hear they hired a special dermatologist in the back who's got a tank of nitrogen ready to go for anal warts.
Right.
Oh, man, let's cut a rug.
All right. But I got to find a place to put in my purse.
Please remember that you never create a concern in the girl that's about to menstruate by referring to her as somebody that's sick.
This is Madge Weinstein. I'm still at the sex worker convention. So I'm here with, what's your name?
June Gabriel.
June Gabriel?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Beaver Cleaver's mother.
Yes.
That's not, nothing Freudian going on there.
No.
So you came in as a working class furry?
Yes, a working class furry.
What's the difference between a working class furry and a, well, I don't know, what's the opposite, a professional furry?
I couldn't afford the big head, the big bunny head. I had to make do.
I know somebody who got the MRSA from one of those things. You know, that staph infection from one of those big, he wore it at a really hot parade.
Well, someone else from this conference came in and bought the big head. Right
what?
After, I couldn't afford it.
What?
Someone else from this conference went in and bought the big bunny head.
Oh.
I mean, that's unfortunate.
Bought it where? Is this a metaphor that I'm missing? Okay. Oops.
No, it's actually not.
Okay.
It actually happened. Sorry.
So are you a sex worker from and from New York, but
yes.
Originally from Madison?
Yes.
So what did you get out of this conference?
Satisfaction. I feel like I can keep going for another year.
Is it hard?
I would say it's hard. It's draining.
Why?
It's tiring.
Is it the work itself or is it
no,
the...
No, it's... I think it's the stigma and I also go to graduate school and, you know, it's like all my other friends don't do it and it's just so nice to be around people who can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
What are you studying in grad school?
Creative writing.
Okay. Which is why you interview people too, right? Isn't that what you said?
I'm a nonfiction writer, so yeah.
Nonfiction? Oh, really? Like, so what do you write about?
BDSM, my life, other people. I do a lot of profiles. So.
Okay. Well, you might want to interview me. I'm very interesting. I'm a lesbian. I have a lot of food allergies. And I have had an interesting and trying life.
Well, I'm doing oral history tomorrow, 12 to 5, at the space.
My website is yeastradio.com.
Okay.
As in yeast infection. So you can go there and...
Yeast infection?
Yeah, this interview will be there.
Oh, cool.
And I also do videos, but I'm not doing that now, obviously. That's Insane Films, which is a different one.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. What was your favorite session?
I missed most of yesterday, unfortunately.
Why?
I had to drive to Madison because I have health issues, and I mooch off my parents' insurance because I'm not yet 25 and I'm in grad school. So.
All right. What do sex workers do for health insurance?
We're fucked.
Seriously?
Seriously, we're fucked. When your job isn't legal, you don't have a legal source of that, you know.
So you can't even...
I bought into a private insurance, but it turns out it was just fucking crap. And
so how do you pay for your medical care?
Well, yeah, I got sick. That's what happened. I got sick in New York, and now So I'm probably going to go back up to Madison and stay with my parents because I don't have fucking health insurance. And I'm probably going to lose clients, and I have to be gone from New York for like a month, you know?
That sucks. So is this group working on anything like that to get health care for sex workers? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just so...
I can answer that.
Yeah,
what?
Please. I'm so mad.
Oh, okay.
Right now. One of our member organizations is the St. James Infirmary. It's the only sex worker here-based occupational health and safety clinic. It's based in San Francisco. It's the only one in the country. They do full-service health care for sex workers as well as other things, including like acupuncture, massage, all your basic screenings, pap smears, basic health stuff. They're doing harm reduction trainings, all kinds of stuff. They're really our best model, and having them on our team is helping us engage other cities in how to get these kind of programs going for sex workers in their region.
So maybe you can go to San Francisco and then
exactly.
You don't have to go home.
That's the problem.
Yeah. That's
and I mean, I'll turn 25 in like a month, so what do I do then?
Why?
Because
is that the age of your parents cut off, like legally?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do I do? Move to Canada? fuck. You know, I'm not.
Yes. You know, well, you know, you can move to Germany. You can move to Amsterdam.
No, I know, but I'm.
And there, it's legal. You could probably get a visa that way. I would think.
I know, but it's like I'm finally okay with my life, and yeah. I feel very fulfilled. And it sucks that if you have like health problems, that your option is nothing.
Doesn't it make you mad at our country?
It makes me really mad. Makes me really mad.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with that for the past month because, you know,
how does it, like, politically, where do you stand? I mean, I assume you're not a Republican.
I'm very far left.
Yeah.
Very far.
Are you somebody who would, like, vote for a Barack Obama, or is he just too middle of the road? Or?
He's middle of the road, and, I mean, I voted for Nader, you know, last time around.
Before that.
Before that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I would vote Green Party, but it's becoming so disgusting in this country that I'm forced to vote a two-party system that I don't believe in.
So how come you don't take seriously the option of moving to another country?
I actually do. I'm actually thinking that I probably will because of this. And that sucks because I've been so, like, into activism, and I feel like I love my country for the first time ever. You know, I love the people in my country, but...
Well, but the people don't control it. The media does, and the government.
I know, the media.
And corporations.
I know.
Because I've interviewed a bunch of sex workers in Berlin and in Amsterdam, and they have a...
I know.
It's much better. I mean, it's not necessarily an easy life, because they're always fat, especially in Amsterdam, because there's a big battle going on politically. But Berlin has a really beautiful... places for like dominatrixes and stuff, and they really have a healthy attitude.
I know they do.
It's wonderful. Have you been there?
Yes.
Oh, I love Berlin. It's like my favorite place. If I was like
I
not
Bonn,
lazy,
too.
Huh?
I love Bonn too.
Oh, I haven't been there.
It's really good. It's like a smaller Berlin, and there's always like a big party in the streets.
Nice.
Lovely. And yeah, they're not afraid of sex workers. Typically, people wearing fishnets, they won't, like, yell at you, so that's cool.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit. Yeah.
Somebody told me in Amsterdam once, they said, you know, the difference is people aren't any less judgmental in Holland. Dutch people are judgmental, too. The difference is they just don't feel like they have the right to tell you what you can and can't do.
Exactly, and that's really where I've started to feel uncomfortable here. It's not that I don't feel like everyone should have an opinion that's different than mine, because everyone has a right to that. It's just the right to tell me that mine's wrong. And I feel like this country, supposedly, what I was told in grade school, you know, wasn't founded on that. And now it is. So it's like...
You know, the more I read about it and think about it, and I think it was founded on that.
I know.
The founding fathers were slave owners.
So. I know.
And they had sex with their slaves.
I know.
So, I don't know. I mean, I like... I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I'm not really into nationalism, so I can't really say I like the country, but I like living in Chicago, and I don't want to leave, and it makes me mad because I feel like I'm being forced to.
Yeah. That's how I've started to feel, because I used to really, like, fetishize the idea of living abroad, and then I did live abroad, and I liked it, but I, you know, miss my friends. I miss the people that are here, and came back and had a really great time. But now I feel like when I have to leave again, I feel like it's not my choice.
Where did you live before?
Ireland. Kind of conservative.
Yeah.
But
it's not here. That's similar as me, same as me, because I lived in Amsterdam for a year, and like I came back really kind of like because it was a fucked up situation, not because I wanted to. And now I'm like, God, I have to leave again? This is a pain in the ass.
That's how I feel. I'm tired of moving.
Yeah.
I'm tired of
it. I just don't want to clean my house and find a tenant. That's really what's holding me back.
Yeah.
Because I can do this wherever I am. Anyway, okay, well, thanks for talking to us. Good luck with your life.
It is an irregular flow of blood from the uterus and lasts anywhere from 3 to 7 days. It's normal.
Hello, just a second, audience. I have to check my levels. Hello, this is Madge Weinstein. I'm still at the sex worker convention after party. I guess it's an after party.
Yes.
Like after birth, that's why everyone's wearing red. And I'm here with John Michael, who is a male sex worker. the first one I've talked to. So what were you? What is it that you you were saying you used to be a street sex worker?
I was a street hustler in the late 70s to mid 80s. I did a lot of street-based hustling to put myself through college, and it was a long time before internet, before cell phones, before pagers. It was, you know, you put your ad in a paper or you got yourself out on a corner.
But how did you live? I mean, you survived the plague.
I survived the plague very fortunately. I feel very fortunate that I survived it. I saw a lot of my friends die.
Yeah.
And, you know, around me. And it's sad. It's very sad, you know, to watch that happen. And empowering to feel that I was able to make it through that and go on. And now, you know, I take myself and I'm more in an activist role, helping people who were in the position or are in the position now that I was in and doing survival sex and teaching them how to do it safely, or safer, I guess is a better term, because you can never be 100% safe. You never know who the hell you're getting into a car with, you know. You have no clue what they're going to do when you get back to your place, to their place, or to the alley that you're going to.
Right.
You know.
So, like, what sort of things or what sort of tips do you give them? Like, what's... Because that would apply not just to hookers, but that would apply to a lot of just gay people that have anonymous sex, I would think.
A lot of it is, you know, I teach them how to rely upon their gut instincts. When something doesn't feel right, when something doesn't look right, I teach them how to have a conversation first and listen to what the person's saying and watch what they're doing.
Interesting.
And when the two don't match, it's time to book.
Like, for example?
People fidgeting around a lot. People not making eye contact with you. People avoiding, you know, direct questions, you know, that you ask questions of, you know, what do you want to do? You know, where do you want to go? And they're unsure, you know, that you have somebody that's watching your back, that you network with the other people that you're working with, that when they see you drive off with somebody, they know that license plate number, they know what that car looks like. They have an idea of what the person inside the car looked like. So when you don't return in an hour and you haven't received a phone call from somebody, you know, people start worrying where you're at. When you don't show up the next day, you know, to check in with people before you go out on dates, check in with them when you come back from dates. You know, people, you know, even now with the internet and stuff like that, you know, it's that you make emails that say where you're going and send it off to somebody, and when you get back, I'm home safe. It
went
well.
You probably want the person you're picking up to see that you are with people too.
Right.
So they know that you're coming. So what do you... what kind of sex work do you do now? I assume you're not still a street hustler.
I'm not a street hustler. I do a little bit of escort work here and there. Not too much. I sink my teeth more into activism and stuff. And when you're an activist in this, you can't really be high profile. And because a lot of the jobs that we get nowadays, especially with male sex workers, tend to be straight identified, have the wife, have the kids, and, you know, they don't like somebody who's in the public eye to be seen with them and know that that's
what
they're
doing. You're talking about the Johns. Okay.
Yeah, in general, just for the Johns. And so I don't do that much anymore. I have a lot of friends that do that. Yeah. And that's where I get a lot of my sex work business from, in the sense that they've got a client that's coming in, has got a friend, and it's like they're looking for my style that you just don't see. I do some escort work with women that is truly escorting them to galas, to events and stuff that's non-sexual, but it's just...
And you do enough of this to make a living, or you...
No, it's just really side work.
You have a day job that you...
I work in healthcare.
Doing what?
I'm a HIV test counselor, okay. Harm reduction counselor. I do phlebotomy, and I do a lot of trainings on needle exchange and safer injection practices, teaching people who want to shoot dope how to shoot dope.
And politically, how do you feel about America?
I feel about America, we're fucked. Right now, I feel we are really, truly, I mean, there's no other way. We're fucked right now. We've got our hands, I think, in too many pots. And we need to start looking at ourselves and coming back to basics.
What are those?
You know, I was raised with I was raised by my grandmother who made it through World War I, World War II, the Depression. And it's learning how to take care of family, learning how to take care of your neighbor without expecting something in return. You know, just back to basics of, you know, you help your fellow human being without an anticipation you're going to gain something in the end, but other than, you know, the knowledge that you were able to help somebody else on this planet.
Well, why is that lacking from America? It's just so glaringly, obviously lacking from America when you have just a couple thousand miles away of Europe where they don't have that attitude at all. Why is it, do you think?
I think America got lazy. And I don't think it's something that happened overnight. It's something that came on slowly but surely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we rely on too much other shit. We don't do enough for ourselves. We expect somebody else to do it for us now. And it's gotten us into the problems that we're in. And how do we get out of it? I don't have a goddamn clue. You know, I don't know what that's going to look like. But, you know, as far as the pendulum swings to the left, it needs to swing to the right. So hopefully, you know, we're at the left side as far as we're going to go, and it'll start swinging back.
But sometimes it seems to me like it's got bumpers and it's just stuck like this really fast. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks.
You're welcome.
This, too, is perfectly normal, and this is what you can expect, and this usually takes place when you have an orgasm.